Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call on us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, check out our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And for those shy ones, you can text through all your queries and yarns, 045-714-0550. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional ancestors, deadly country vows. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Another week, you mob too deadly. Let's yarn. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Anthony Bevan from Grant Thornton Partners and talk about the stolen wages distribution update here in Queensland. Anthony, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev, and good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So the virtue, in a way, you could say the horse is already bolted in regards to applications for stolen wages. So bring us up to speed and how we're looking at the moment.
Trev, where we currently stand is that the court has now closed off all the applications for stolen wages here in Queensland, mm-hmm. and also closed off the time frame for providing IDs to support people's claims.
Okay.
So what we're doing now is going through everyone's applications, going through all their claims.
So applications are in, but it's not confirmed that money will be received. It depends on you've got to do your due diligence and check out
right.
the application. Yep.
So the process is people had to make an application, and then our job is to go through and determine people's eligibility. So since January, we've been getting information from people, their backgrounds, their bank account details, their mm-hmm. photo IDs, just to confirm who they are. We've been doing reviews of the applications to ensure that everyone's eligible.
Yeah.
And then
so how do you do that review? What's in the review process? What are you guys looking for?
So we're looking for the dates of birth of people. Did they or their parents work and live on an Aboriginal reserve or mission or island? Mm. Did they have their wages retained and managed by the Queensland government from 1939 up until 1972? And are they Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander?
Aboriginality, of course, you're looking for that as well.
Absolutely.
Yep. What sort of paperwork have we got proof for our mob who had their wages stolen?
The proof is very limited. The paperwork in a lot of cases is very poor. There's not a lot of proof of that. So the court has been very lenient in what's required to prove a claim.
Okay.
So most people, all they have to do is provide us with an application form and declare that they or their parents were Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, worked on a mission reserve or island from 1939 to 1972, and had their wages retained and managed by the Queensland government. And we pretty much know from the Queensland process that happened from 2002 to 2018, which families were affected by these practices, which communities were affected by these practices. So we've got a fair idea of who's eligible and who's not.
And that knowledge helps in regard to the successful applicants then.
That's right.
Doesn't it?
That's right.
And when you say applicants, we're talking about, so you mentioned all their parents. So people have put in applications for their parents who are probably no longer with us.
That's right. So about 12,400 people were subjected to these practices, and about 71% of them have now passed away.
Okay.
So what the court said is in those cases where they have passed away, their spouse, if the spouse is still living, and if the spouse isn't still living, then their children could have made an application. And all of that had to be in before the 21st of November last year, 2019.
There was an extension there, wasn't there?
No, there was no extension, okay. 21 November for applications. But what the court did do is they originally, everyone had to provide their ID, prove who they were by August.
Okay.
But the court extended that until the 9th of October. So that just expired about 10 days ago.
Sure.
And so now we're working through everyone's applications, all of the documents and information they've provided, and we're going to work out who's
eligible.
So coming
to the tail end of the so-called date and the date that was extended, did we have an influx of applications coming in, or the identification as such?
We had a lot more IDs coming in, yep. But we still had a large number of people who didn't provide any IDs or supporting information.
So the horse is already bolted for those guys, eh?
The horse is bolted. They won't receive a payment, unfortunately. But the light is at the end of the tunnel. We can see the date for payment is coming soon, the before the 6th of December, so not too long. For people to hold out and wait for their payment. So process now, going through eligibilities, write to everyone and tell them whether they're eligible or not, and if they are eligible, how much they're entitled to receive.
Sure. When looking at the monies that's paying back to the people, the applicants, are we talking interest? Is there a round figure, or how do they work out that that figure as such?
So the figure that was arrived at between the Queensland Government and Mr. Hans Pearson was $190 million, and that's been earning interest since September last year.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the money, the 190, and the interest goes into a pot. A pool of money. There's money being paid to the lawyers and to the people that funded the litigation, and the money that's still in there is still earning interest. So that money will be made available and will be divided up between everyone that's eligible.
Okay. And when you say divide up for everyone that's eligible, for those people who missed out on applying, is that money in the kitty as well?
That's right.
Okay.
So for those that didn't provide their IDs and prove their identification in time, their money goes back into the pool, and that becomes available to all those that did provide their IDs and have proved they are eligible under the scheme. So the vast majority of people did that. And we're working through eligibility now, and we're really focused now on getting payments out to people before the 6th of December.
So the breakdown of 190 million at the end of the day, all that money will be passed out through lawyers and to the applicants.
That's
right. That's the deal done in regard to the agreement. And to what happened to our people in regarding their wages being stolen.
That's right. And you might have seen in the media this morning that in Western Australia a similar action has been launched in Western Australia. So for those listeners that are based in Western Australia or had family in Western Australia, there's now been litigation commenced in Western Australia. So my office is just dealing with Queensland.
Of course, yep, Queensland, yep.
But for those from other jurisdictions, we quite often get asked...
phone calls and find out, yeah, because you're leading the pack, so to speak. So you'd be getting phone calls to help us navigate through this, yes?
That's right. So we do receive phone calls. I live in New South Wales, or my parents were on a mission in Western Australia or Northern Territory.
Yeah.
So there are lawyers that are looking at litigation for those other jurisdictions. And just in the media today, there's some details about a class action that's been commenced in Western Australia.
Yeah.
So there are opportunities for other people, but... for Queensland, as you said, we're ahead of the pack.
Mm.
We've got the money to distribute to people, and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So we'll get distribution statements out to people very shortly, setting out whether they're eligible or not and how much they will be receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the 6th of December, we'll be making payments to people.
So before the 6th of December, so a good time, Christmas.
Christmas time, is, you know? School yeah. holiday time. So it is a good time, and that's what we're focused on is we don't want to have any delays to those payments because we know people are looking forward to receiving that money and using it for their Christmas break and Christmas shopping.
And, look, and Anthony, it's not a handout. It's money that's theirs, that belongs to the people, and it was stolen from them, hence the title, Stolen Wages.
Yeah, so... We always say, and Mr. Pearson is always very clear to say, this isn't compensation.
Yep.
This is people's own money being given back to them plus a little bit of interest. So it's not compensation, it's not reparations, it's giving people back their money that was held by the Queensland government
for many
decades.
Well, after we finish this conversation, and here we are on Monday at the end of the week, you and I are looking at getting our pay. For the work that we've done this week.
That's right.
Our conversation here and now.
That's, you know that's, what I mean? That's right. And, but you got to think that, you know, if we work today and like some of these old people have had to wait 90 years to receive their payment, that's an awful long time to wait for your pay slip.
Hello.
90 years. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So you mentioned Western Australia. Other states and territories are on the bandwagon as well?
From what I understand, yes, there are lawyers looking at other jurisdictions, but Western Australia is the next jurisdiction to commence litigation, a class action. It's very similar to the one here in Queensland.
Sure. Look, it's very sad for some people who've missed out regarding putting an application in or naive to what went on with our people, our elders, and a lot of them who are no longer with us. The conversation didn't happen, so to call, with the family, then they're in the dark, aren't they?
That's right. But we're quite confident that the majority of people that were affected by these practices have registered, have provided all their ID and will be eligible and will receive a payment. Yeah. But some, as with any scheme, some people will miss out, and some people have said to us, "Oh, that's very tough that some people have to miss out." But what the old people have said to us is that, you know, we can't delay this any further.
Exactly.
It's been 90 years.
Exactly.
So, unfortunately, if some people haven't been able to, within eight and a half months, get their IDs in, unfortunately, they will miss out. But the old people are saying to us, that's tough, but at the end of the day, the old people need their money.
Exactly.
And every day we delay is more old people passing away.
And their families. I mean, we all work for our children. And their children, what have you. So whether we're getting the pay packet this week or 90 years later, the pay packet is our pay packet.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we want to get this money out to those old people that are still with us and their families as quickly as possible. And we can't do that unless we close it off and do the calculation. So, yes, unfortunately, some people will miss out. But at the end of the day, all of that money will go out to Aboriginal and Torres Islander people and communities and families.
Well, I will say a congratulations to those families, a sad congratulations, an angry congratulations, but the fact that money's coming back to the families, that's good news.
That is, and just this week what we'll be working on is providing some financial counselling resources so that, you know, this is a lot of money that some families will be receiving. So,
gotta watch for the sharks too.
Yes.
What do we do with this money? And let's invest it and make the money work for the families, to speak, you know.
Or pay off some debts.
Exactly.
You know, or, you know, look at some scholarships for your children. So there'll be financial counselling where people can call someone and say, I'm getting this money, what should I do with it?
Exactly.
And so we'll be making that available to people as well once the payments start rolling out.
Yep. All right, fantastic. Well, thank you for the update, the stolen wages distribution here in Queensland. And look, a shout out to all our other states and territories. And thinking of our elders who are no longer with us, your work is has been done, and now you are getting paid for the work that you've done. So, Anthony, thank you so very much. All the best to Grant Thornton Partners. Anthony Bevan, thank you, and all the best, and please do keep in touch, eh?
Thanks, Trev.
All right, too deadly. Good. A beautiful yarn there. Very, like I said, a congratulations, a sad congratulation, an angry congratulations. But the fact that stolen wages are now being handed back to the people in their families. And for the brothers and sisters out there who didn't put an application, the horse has already bolted. Sad to hear that. But like I said, sometimes the conversations never been had with our loved ones who are no longer with us. But that's the conversation there. So Grant Thornton Partners did their job and opening doors for other states and territories as well to, I say, jump on a bandwagon, no, to do due diligence, to operate by the LAW law as we know it in this country. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. And Yarn Up with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbleybrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to News, National Just Radio Service. Here's Red, Black and Yellow with Coldwater Band. Do enjoy.
So I hold this flag with all my heart. This is who I am.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your cyber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, here we are, 2020, still in the pandemic regarding COVID-19. Sad news in regards to what's happening with Australians with disability. CSIRO research, wheelchair users and COVID. Australians with disability most vulnerable as new CSIRO research confirms COVID-19 can be detected on surfaces like wheelchair wheels for up to 30 days. Look, we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Managing Director of Push Mobility, Shane Hohorick, on the line. Shane, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Very well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Thinking of you guys down there in Victoria is where you're based. And look, fantastic they found the so-called, the research, the news that they found, but sad in the sense of wheelchair wheels for up to 30 days, COVID-19 can be detected on the surface of wheels. Sad. Tell us about it, please.
Yeah. Well, so look, I am a wheelchair user.
Okay, Shane.
And wheelchair users, we have to push our wheels to be able to go anywhere. And many wheelchair users touch their wheels 1,000 times, if not more, a day.
Yep.
And every time you touch your wheels, if there's anything that's on your hands, it transfers onto the wheels and the wheels onto your hands.
Mm.
So if a virus or that of COVID-19 was to be airborne and hit your wheel, if you don't have a protective barrier, it'll end up on your hands. If you touch your face, the next thing you know, you've got COVID.
And detected up to 30 days. So what do we do? Do we change wheels here or for every person on in a wheelchair across Australia? I mean, what do we do here?
Yeah, so look, previously we were under the thought process that COVID lasts on metallic surfaces or services for about 10 days. So it's quite a surprise to find out that it's 3 times longer than what we previously thought.
Yes.
Obviously, you can't not push your wheelchair because otherwise you'll be stuck in the same place and never be able to go anywhere.
Mm.
So there is some things that people can do to stay protected. One of those things is to use an antimicrobial sanitizer. They're non-alcohol based.
Mm-hmm.
At Push Mobility, we provide one. It's by Zuno. And what happens is you spray it over your wheels. It creates a protective barrier.
Yes.
The barrier is like little pins. And when the virus lands on that protective barrier, it pops the virus, like the pin popping a balloon.
Balloon, yeah.
And a good quality antimicrobial sanitizer lasts on the surface for up to 30 days. So
Okay. Myself,
I apply it once a week. So I have a routine every Monday. I spray it all over my wheels and my push rims and my frame of my wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that if I go out in public and, for instance, say there was someone that did have COVID-19, they sneezed and coughed, it could travel meters. And if it was to land on the wheels, it would just kill it straight away.
Okay. So now this antimicrobial technology, this spray, is it accessible? Is it easy for people to get a hold of?
Yeah. So we provide Wheelie Hand and Wheelie Surface. Wheelie Surface is the surface sanitizer, which is powered by Zuno technology. It's Therapeutic Goods Australia registered. So you just go online and you order it, and we ship Australia wide.
Sure. Okay. So, look, we are living in a different world at the moment. We are virtually travelling in a dark tunnel and attacking COVID-19 in the best way we know how. As it pops up, pardon the pump, but it's popped up here regarding wheelchair wheels, and it looks detected on the surface for 30 days. A newfound information in regard to COVID-19.
Yeah, so I guess, like I said, I think previously people thought that it would only last on surfaces for 10 days, but now that we know that it lasts for an entire month, I think everyone all over Australia needs to take steps to protect ourselves. And I guess you don't know. I mean, even though that Cairns and Queensland hasn't got any recorded cases, you never know when someone's crossing the border. And
Exactly.
I mean, a great example is Shepparton in Victoria, where they had no cases for weeks, and now all of a sudden there's 500 people getting tested and in isolation right now. So taking steps to protect ourselves every day in general is good practice.
And we all need to do our bit, as the old phrase says, regarding COVID-19, we are all in this together. So everybody needs to abide by the rules and be active to those rules. In regard to your situation, how you and I are yarning, having a yarn here on First Nation Radio Station, which goes across the country, how are we promoting this in regarding looking after our Australians with disability in wheelchairs?
Yeah, so look, we're active in talking to the community, also speaking on this radio show and other programs. It's great to create awareness, to let people know of the steps that can be taken to protect themselves. And protecting yourself protects other people as
Exactly.
So, if I take steps to keep myself safe, then I'm also then keeping everybody else around me safer.
Well, Shane, our beautiful yarn here on National Talk Black is a tool that we're using and doing our bit in regarding protecting Australians with disability in wheelchairs. I thank you very much for chatting, my friend. Stay safe, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me on the show, and have a good morning.
All the best, Shane. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
A deadly yarn there with Shane Hi-Hororic, his name. He's the Managing Director of Push Mobility. A very sad situation, CSIRO. Well, good situation regarding finding out what the go is in regard to the research that's been found, wheelchair users in COVID-19 and Australians in disability with most vulnerable. New CSIRO research confirms COVID-19 can be detected on surfaces like their wheelchair wheels for up to 30 days. So it's great news that we found this, but sad because the fact that that's their mobility, how they get around, people in wheelchairs, disability, you know. And it's sad that this has come about, but there is sanitizers there, and we need to protect the Australians with disability. So very, very important space to be working in, Shane. So thank you very much, Shane Hi-Hororic. He's the Managing Director of Push Mobility. Push for a yarn here, you mob, on a National Tall Black Partner Punt. But all ears here for your say. 1-800-422-416. Yarn with Bawley on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM.
Fairy tale when you live in hell. Trust me, that's a story I know very well. Bad weather, no umbrella, it gets better. Seen it with my own eyes, Money and job, you ain't got one. How you gon' raise my godson? Adoption, I know that's not an option. Your baby mama watching other girls and their husbands. They whip grips and kids, that's how a family functions. We face obstacles, that's not cool, but you got to choose what's best for you. I see you trying to better yourself and trying to better your health. I see you getting closer every day.
That's just super understanding what the master plan. Ni nigga ukuluwa tryna find another hand. I'm pushing through the storm, being better than I am. When I make a bigger stride, I was trying to push me down. Man, I'm bigger than the image and the fans. Vision is precision, I can see right through the brands, see right through the smoke. Life is not a joke. When I finally drop my mask, my mirror, it almost broke.
I was told the storm would go away. Darkest times, I pray for better days. Ayo, ayo.
Choose to feel. Lately, don't know how to feel. Don't know what's fake or real. So I get my mental straight. Write my problems to the pencil, break therapeutic. If it puts me in a better place, I gotta do it. Instead of losing myself, I found music. Real talk, I've been down and out, and now I'm back now. You can't count me out, I never back down. And that goes to anybody with problems. I get help, and maybe we can solve them. Nakunili jack the ripple left at war. Gotta keep pushing through, never stop. It's like every time I see the rain drop, life falling down your face in the same spot. If you're looking for love, it's what I got. Got enough to go around, giving up.
You say you got a lot of love, I can use a ton. And we can go together, we can be as one.
And I can tag along, yeah, my number longer born. I can have to worry, you won't be alone.
I guess I'm coming too. Cause if we preaching love and unity, I'm coming through. And is that cool with you?
Man, I got no issue. Just know that I'm with you.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
We
with you.
Give it up. Give it up to the sunrise. We standing strong through the dark times. That's who we are. Hey, baby. We're never gonna stop the rain. Give it up. Give it up to the sunrise. We standing strong through the dark times. That's who we are.
This is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Welcome to
it on your mob. It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Joy Walker and Deirdre Shorty was someone's daughter. Nathan Reynolds and Melissa Dunn. Eddie Russell, someone's son. Malcolm Smith and Roy James Boney. Joyce Clark, who was someone's aunt. Tony Chatfield and Bradley Coolwell. Monty Salt, who was someone's uncle. Bruce Leslie, Maureen Mandajara. Milton Wells, who was someone's father. Clarence Neen, Veronica Baxter. Muriel Binks, someone's mother. Scott and Greg Dunlop, Faith Barnes, I'll keep on going. There's Harrison Day, Trevor King, and Charlie Michael, it ain't nothing. Cause I got more, like Alistair Riversley, Charlie Highlights, just too easy. There's Barbara Yarrow, and Kristen Jones, and Roy Walker, and on it goes. And Daniel Yock, and Sheldon Cullen, and Dixon Green, or someone stop me.
Paddy McHugh featuring Dan Rennie. Can you hear us here on your daily program, National Talk Black? Can you hear the brother? Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time, and it's 11:44 on Sunday, North Queensland. We're taking you right through to the news coming up very soon. NIRS, have you saying Jan Upstrong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother 0457140550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. All right, the stage has been set for the football grand finals, the championship coming up this weekend. You have the AFL and you've got Richmond Tigers up against Geelong Cats. And they'll be playing at the Gabba. First time the AFL grand final will be played away from Melbourne. Thanks to COVID-19, so there it is. And also in the NRL, Melbourne Storms up against the Panthers, Penrith Panthers, and that's been played in Sydney at ANZ Stadium. So look, give us a call. Maybe you want to talk football. Who's your team? Maybe you want to talk about the demise of your team, never made the championship, never made the finals. Maybe you want to talk about Broncos, Wooden Spooners. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Taking you across the nation, thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up with Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And Yarn's all here, all ears open, lines open, and Murray got the mind open as well. Speaking of open, let's talk about a renewable Queensland, Queensland Conservation Council's path to 100% renewable Queensland. And Queensland Conservation Council today released their vision for powering up Queensland with 100% renewable energy. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Claire Fryer, climate and energy campaigner, Queensland Conservation Council, on the line. We got Claire. Very good morning, Claire. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, that is the vision for the future, a renewable Queensland. Tell us how this can come about and how good is it for Mother Earth, if that's the case, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, thanks for inviting me on. And obviously, I'd like to start by acknowledging that I am living and working on traditional owners of the land. I live on Gubbi Gubbi land, and beautiful. I'd just like to pay my respects to the leaders, past, present, and emerging.
Thank you, Claire.
This is something that is affecting all Queenslanders right now. Obviously, climate crisis is a huge thing in Queensland, and the focus has been taken off a lot of major issues with obviously the COVID crisis that's been going on. But this is something that we do need to address. And we've recently had two energy experts, look into the possible ways that we can transition to 100% renewable energy for Queensland. And both of them have found that it's actually very doable. It's something that we can work on right now. There's already technologies in place that are working around the world and within Australia and within Queensland to make this a reality. What we are lacking is a plan from our leaders, from our political leaders. We must have a plan in place to phase out our current reliance on fossil fuels and make what is an essential move over to renewable energy.
So we're talking about probably, new industries being created, but the demise of other industries, yes?
Well, it's not so much that the new industries being created will cause that demise. These are industries that don't have a future, that we don't have a future in fossil fuels. That's the reality of it. You know, the global demand for coal in particular is plummeting. And we simply must take action from putting aside the, you know, those financial aspects. It's an actual crisis that we must take action. And what we've found, or what the experts have found, is that if we do this well, if we plan this well, we can actually create jobs. There is a future in creating new renewable energy. And of course, what has to be there is that fair and just transition for communities that are currently reliant on those fossil fuel industries, for the workers themselves, and for all of those who are affected, whether it's through health, through environment, or through financial means. There has to be a just transition in place.
Well, I suppose we're looking at the forever changing world that we live in. Change with the times will get left behind, so to speak. There are no longer video stores, so to speak. You know what I mean? Netflix has come
That's
to the
right.
table.
Yeah.
You know, so you just got to change the times. And if you were in that industry and it becomes a dinosaur industry, it is what it is. Yes.
That's correct. And I mean, a lot of people within the industry and a lot of leaders within the industry are aware of this and are looking to make those moves across.
Yes.
You know, some of the actual fossil fuel companies are also the biggest investors in renewables. They know it's the future.
Okay.
But
yes.
without that plan in place from government, it's not going to be a fair transition and it's not going to be an easy path.
Do you feel as though the government's holding on and doesn't want to let go for the so-called new industry we're moving into?
Well, we're in a, I guess, an interesting position in Queensland because six of our eight coal-fired power stations are actually state government owned and controlled. So it's a very unique position. Most of the other states and territories are no longer in that position. It's largely private owned.
Okay.
So really, our state government holds that power. They have that capability and they are the decision.
Well, egg on their face if they don't make the changes.
Sorry, what I missed.
I was just saying, egg on their face if they don't make the changes.
Well, exactly. They have that power. They can actually be, you know, the
leading
hero
from the front
at this moment. Exactly, yes. But what we don't want is for a state that is called the Sunshine State that has these amazing resources of wind and solar to be left behind in this move.
Yeah.
That would be disastrous.
Well, you can't have a Sunshine State if it's cloudy in the atmosphere and you can't see from one side to the other.
That's right. And it's going to be a very sad Sunshine State if we no longer have the Great Barrier Reef and some of the other amazing natural wonders that we have here. You know, I think Queenslanders care deeply about our environment, but they also care deeply about community, and that's why this has to be done well and planned now, and action has to be taken to make sure that communities are provided for and that these jobs are transitioned well and made available.
Well, the old phrase, we don't plan to fail, we just fail to plan. So we've got to put the plan in place. you know, and we need to work with it and change with the times and grow, you know. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And we've seen, you know, we have seen progress. We've recently had announcements of renewable energy zones and a renewable energy fund for publicly owned renewables. So, you know, the future's coming into view, but we can't simply go, we're going to bring these things into play and we're not even going to talk about how we're going to actually make that transition. It's not going to happen without planning.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it does, people will be left behind and they simply don't need to be.
So have we got a date? Do you know how long this will take and for it to come to fruition?
Look, it's nobody's got a crystal ball.
Sure.
We would like to see all coal-fired power stations closed and transitioned by 2030. Certainly the time frame in one of our energy experts' reports, he was, Tristan Edith from Green Energy Markets, was talking about the job availability and the construction over a 15-year period.
Mm.
So, you know, we're looking at that kind of 10 to 15 years of making it 100% renewable Queensland power. And this is just our domestic supply.
Sure.
Obviously, there are other opportunities for export, and those are to be discussed down the line. But certainly this is something that, you know, when you're talking at possibly 10 years' time and we don't have anything currently in place as a plan, that's not a lot of time to start working.
Exactly. We've got to start planning now and start building the so-called foundation for the future. Do we have anyone as a mentor or leading the way globally in this space?
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of places leading the way on various factors. You know, there's a strong focus in Europe on closing coal, and you know, certainly I know the UK recently has had days where they've been 100% renewables, and obviously a lot of places in Europe are also now phasing out petrol driven cars. It's all, you know, it's all got to be environmentally friendly moving forwards, and the dates they're putting on these things, that they're pretty impressive. You know, they're moving at a good rate.
Sure.
ACT has certainly been incredibly forward thinking on transitioning to domestic renewable energy, and New South Wales actually beat us to the pump on announcing renewable energy zones, although we followed quickly after with the Palaszczuk government has announced those renewable energy zones, and the LNP have confirmed that they would also continue with those plans for renewable energy zones. So, you know, it's a case of we need to step up and step forward.
Yep.
We have the capabilities here. We certainly have in Queensland that drive to be seen as a leader of something.
Yes.
And we have the ability to do it. So it's going to be very frustrating if that's not pushing forward and that's not the stance that they're taking, particularly at a time like this when, you know, our economy needs investment to recover. It's essential. We have to regrow our economy, and here's a fantastic opportunity to do that.
Well, pardon a punt, but I can see clearly now. Nice chatting with you, Claire. Thank you so very much. Look, all the best to you and your family, your team. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, Claire.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Nice talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Claire Fryer, her name is, climate and energy campaigner, Queensland Conservation Council, and talking about the path to 100% renewable Queensland. And like I said, change with the times, we'll get left behind, but loving and respecting Mother Earth and thinking of our children who are following us. So we need to do what we need to do. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Got the news coming up here very soon for the news that goes across the News Black Net Network of Murray radio stations. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
We want to pay tribute to all the women across this land. We want to say thank you. It It's because of you we can.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Because of Her We Can, the beautiful theme for NAIDOC. And that's a couple of years ago, Natasha Eldridge. Thank you very much, my sister, and to all our beautiful sisters out there, our mothers, our grandmothers. Thank you for being you. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Shut your mouth. 1-800-422-416. Murray, getting excited for the news. Can you get excited for the news? We've got Mitch Tambo coming up with that daily track, Love, and Murray going to sign off. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic, you mob. Too deadly.